The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Good evening and welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. It's almost that time of year, folks. You can hear it in the wind, and you can feel it in your bones. Pumpkins don porches and leaves line the streets. The nights grow short, the air turns crisp, and monsters linger near. It's almost Halloween, and you've made the right choice coming here for your hour of entertainment. For I have an embarrassment of riches to share with you here this evening, witches, the djinn, floating dogs, and disappearing houses. We have it all here tonight. But given that this is a Tuesday installment, we must choose a theme. And tonight's theme was actually my researcher Delaney's idea. And I know a good idea when I hear one. So here we are. Welcome to the first installment of Monsters Among Us International. That's right, tonight's stories will all come to us from all over the world. France, Iceland, Australia, and even Africa. And that is where we begin tonight's journey. George, welcome to the program.
Hey Derek, this is George from Malawi, Africa, and I'd like to share my parents' encounter in 2019. So my parents are basically the average traditional African household parents. They don't believe in anything that's anything supernatural. So even after this event occurred, never changed their perception of things. And they still stick to the story till date. That was weird, but it doesn't really change much for them. So basically what my mom had told me the morning after this happened was she was woken up at 2 a.m. by a huge light outside of their bedroom window. Now, their headboard is basically towards the window. Like when they lay it down on their bed, their heads are basically facing the window, like toward it in a way. And my mom basically said they saw a huge light above on the outside of, like, it was shining into the house. It was like on the fence shining into the house. Now, my mother's initial thought was someone was trying to rob us. It was probably something, you know, of that sort, like person on person. But the light was simply too big for it to be like a robber. So it got her thinking, like, if anyone was trying to rob us, why would they make it known that we're getting robbed? So she woke up my dad, but she was whispering. She told him, hey, look outside. And my dad was like, okay, that's a big light, but I don't think we're getting robbed. Just calm down. Let's see what happens. And the moment they had this conversation, the light outside sort of went off. And my dad started hearing people talking, you know, outside, not whispering, not murmuring, just literal talking. But it wasn't like normal language or English or anything like that. It was a language my dad has never heard before. And my dad is fairly versed with a lot of languages, but he couldn't pinpoint what language this was, because it was basically mummering, like just going, how he describes it is people going mum, 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 and he couldn't figure out what they were saying. And the moment my dad sort of peeked outside the window, he didn't see anyone, but the light kind of went back on, you know. The light went back on, the talking stopped, and the light sort of started circling the outside of their room, because they have like three windows, the one that's towards their head and two more windows on the right side of the wall. And the light sort of started moving and like observing them, like it could clearly shine onto them. And it was a big light. It wasn't like a small flashlight light. It was like a big light, and it sort of circled them and went back and went by what they thought is it kind of went out of their view, like it was kind of surrounding the house. And after a few minutes, it came back on the other side, like surrounded the whole house. Now, at this point in time, me, my brother, and my sister were all asleep. I didn't see anything in my room. My sister said she didn't see anything in her room, but my brother asked my parents, what was that light? Because he saw it. So, yeah. And after surrounding the house, came back to the window, and it sort of like tried to peek above their headboard, like it was sort of lifting itself up to like look at them from a top down type of angle. And it sort of like vanished, and they heard a sonic buzz thing. Yeah, the entire time she described the light to have a buzzing, like sonic buzzing thing. And after it went on, the buzzing got louder and louder, and then just went silent. And they couldn't sleep after that. They told it to us the next morning. So yeah, I found that kind of weird. And I tried telling them, hey, it was probably a UFO. They don't buy it. Didn't change your perception. They just thought it was weird. We were getting robbed by people who weren't professionals, I guess. But yeah, that was their experience. Let me know what you think. My first time listening to your podcast was last week. I really like your show.
Thank you, George, for calling in. Now, that sounds like a Steven Spielberg film. It definitely sounds like a UFO to me. After all, a UFO is just an unidentified object that happens to be flying. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's space aliens. It could be the military, time travelers, Elon Musk. Or sure, it could be aliens. Now, Delaney did some digging, and she couldn't find any other reports from Malawi. But that doesn't mean that they don't happen. Perhaps that sort of thing just isn't talked about there. And judging by the parents' reaction, I'd say that's likely the case. Now, before we move on, it's worth mentioning that a very famous alien encounter took place only a few hundred miles from the sighting there in Malawi. Now, I'm going to bend my rule of no deep dives just a little bit, because the story of the aerial school UFO sighting is worth the time. Now, basically, in 1994 in Rua, Zimbabwe, about 60 schoolchildren reported witnessing a silver disc-shaped object land near their playground. The children also described seeing small beings with large eyes emerge from the craft, leading to a brief but intense encounter that lasted around 15 minutes. To this day, a majority of the children, now adults, stand by their reports. A famous Harvard psychiatrist even got involved in the case, only for him to die suddenly a year or so after. Now, hopefully we'll have another opportunity to dive deeper in this subject on a later episode. But in the meantime, I'll leave you with actual testimony from some of those school children, courtesy of the BBC.
I saw something silver on the ground amongst the trees, and a person in black.
They had big black eyes. That's all I saw. I saw a glimpse. They kind of turned around and stared and then went back into a kind of like ship.
I saw this silver thing in amongst this clump of trees, with this one thing sitting on the side and another thing sort of like running up and down the top.
What did he look like?
His face was like this, and his eyes were down here.
It's kind of hard not to believe them. Now thank you again, George, for calling in. It's not every day we get a UFO story out of Africa.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The 75-year-old actor's health issue is set to start in March.
Now our next story takes us to the Nordic country of Finland. Please welcome the following anonymous caller.
Hey Derek, I just want to start with saying thanks for the rad podcast. Keeps me company when the kids are like taking a nap or whatever. It's a lovely way to spend the afternoon being sort of creeped out and folding laundry. Anyway, it's really good. I love all the stories. So this one is mine. About 10 years ago, give or take, I traveled to Oxford, England, to visit my boyfriend at the time. Current ex, yay. he was working to, like, kind of studying, working to be a chef at a college just around the corner from the Bodleian Library, so like downtown Oxford. Super duper old kitchen. He said it's the oldest kitchen in like Oxford, but I don't know if that's true, but it was old. I mean, everything's old over there, but like, anyway, the days would basically be like I would just bounce around town. And then when his shift would end, I'd go meet him at his workplace. And then, you know, we'd go hang out or whatever. And one day, I really, really had to use the bathroom. And I was cheap. So I just kind of scrambled over to the back door. And I was like, hey, man, let me in. I gotta pee. And he's like, sure, sure. So he just kind of waved me like, hey, the bathroom's downstairs. Just, you'll find it. It's right down there. And he had to get back to whatever he was doing. He was like in the mid shift. And I was like, sweet, I get to investigate an old building. I was really excited. It was kind of weird. It was like a stairwell that just went straight down from the kitchen floor. Like, really not the safest form of architecture, not that I'm a, but like OSHA would have a field. Anyway, so this stairwell went down and I went down and it kind of, the mood changed. It was like abrupt because you're in this brightly lit kitchen with like lots of life, and then you go down and boom, it's like dim and it was quieter, and I was like, okay. And there's like the ladies' room, and you know how it's got like, you know, the sinks on the right, and then there's like two bathroom stalls, and I was like, okay, cool. So I went in and it was just awful. It was the coldest ever. I mean, yes, English buildings can be kind of chilly and drafty, but this was like next level cold. I was like freezing, and then had a horrible vibe. Like really unwelcome, kind of funny to say about a bathroom, but just like this oppressive, just a bad feeling. Weird thing. So I proceeded to do my business as fast as possible. Refused to look up into the mirror when I was washing my hands. I think I've seen too many horror movies, but it just felt really bad. And I just booked it up the stairs and then, yeah, just didn't stay down there for any amount of time longer than I had to. And yeah, I was just hanging out back, waiting for the guy to get off the shift. And then he did. And, you know, we're walking home. And I was kind of like, well, like, it's like, that was weird. I was like, man, what is it like? Like, because he would work evenings there too. And I was like, well, how is it like working in such an old building, like lots of history? And he had that look, like he knew what I was kind of getting at. And he was like, you got scared, didn't you? And I was like, yeah. I was like, well, yeah, a little. I mean, you could have told me it was like spooky, spooky down there. I said, yeah, I didn't want to tell you anything because I knew you wouldn't use the bathroom otherwise. I was like, what? And apparently his buddy, who also worked in the kitchen, had gone down, and he opened the door to the bathroom, and there was a lady standing in there with her back towards the door. So, like, her back facing him. And he's like, oh, dude, sorry. And he, like, closed the door, and he was like, what? Like, this is the men's room. So he kind of opens the door, and he's like, excuse me, ma'am, but I think you're like in the wrong place. And she's gone, and there's like nowhere she could have gone. I mean, there's just the, I'm assuming it's the same kind of bathroom, like it's in the basement, like there's nowhere to go, there's no windows or anything. And that was it. And he said that she was wearing like a really big, like a heavy dress. He said none of the staff liked to use those bathrooms, that they all agreed that they were creepy. They were pretty, but that like their only merit. but yeah, that it's funny because those guys were just, you know, chefs in training, not particularly into the paranormal or spooky stuff. I've never had any kind of experience like that before or since, like vibe wise. I do feel like some places kind of hold a memory of, like, you can go somewhere and it feels very like almost sacred or calm. You feel good in some places, and some places have like a really bad feeling, but I've never seen anything like unusual. And yeah, I don't really have any reason to think that he made that story up, but who knows, people have done weirder things. Anyway, yeah, that's my story. Thanks for the podcast. Yeah, take care.
Thank you, caller. Well, look, Oxford was founded all the way back in the 8th century, and it's officially been a city since 1542. So who knows how old that basement is? And imagine some of the horrors that that basement might have seen over those 13-plus centuries. All that history imprinted in the stone and mortar. Millions of lives come and gone. And imagine all the death that has occurred there. Tons of it, I would imagine. And I would also imagine those deaths have a lot to do with the feeling felt down in that basement. Someone or something left over from those tragic events. Now, regardless of where the phenomena came from, we appreciate you, caller, for telling us all about it. And folks, if you have a story you'd like to tell us about, a true story, give us a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or shoot me an email with a voice file at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now look, I realize this next location isn't exactly international, but the story was too fun not to squeeze in here. So in short, yes, I know Puerto Rico is part of the U.S., but I'm going to share it anyway. Now, Louise, tell them why it's worth bending the rules.
Hi, this is Luis from Puerto Rico again. This happens to me when I was about 8 or 9 years of age. We were visiting relatives of my father. They live on the central area of Puerto Rico in a town named Morovis. The central area of Puerto Rico, the woods area, is most of all tropical rainforest. So there you have a picture of how is the woods here. Well, while they were in the house, I went to the backyard and entered the woods. Because I love nature, I like to watch for lizards, insects, creepy crawlers like that. It was almost noon, it was a sunny day, and I was walking through the woods. There was this flash of light, it took everything, that flash of light, and once it happened, there was, in front of me, on about 15, 20 yards, a large black cat, a big cat. And when I mean big, it was almost the size of a Doberman, adult Doberman dog. It was really big. It was black. It has shining yellow eyes, and it has this overwhelming presence. Slender, it was thick, and it looked beautiful, but scary at the same time. I was frozen. I just couldn't take my eyes from it. The black cat was watching me. And we stood like that for a few seconds, but it really felt like an eternity because it was really that impressive. It was so overwhelming, its presence. And there goes this flash of light again, and it's gone. Disappeared. Didn't run, just disappeared. And I get back to my senses, and I ran back to the house. I don't remember if I told my parents about it, but I didn't leave the house for the rest of the day. But that was my story. Keep the good work. I'm trying to catch up with you. You're currently at your season 17. I just finished season 10. So there's still a lot to hear from you, but I hope to catch up soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Luis. Well, let's start here. There are no big cats native to the island of Puerto Rico, although in the 16th century, the Spanish introduced cats to the island. And like they have done practically everywhere else on Earth, they carved a niche and survived to this day. In fact, San Juan, Puerto Rico's capital, is home to over 200 feral cats that have become a popular tourist attraction. Though I understand their current efforts to permanently remove this cat colony. You can learn more about all that in the show notes. But the point being here is that there shouldn't be any big cats in Puerto Rico. Keyword there is shouldn't be. But back in 2008, that wasn't the case. The following article ran on NBCNews.com in December of that year. Reports of slaughtered farm animals and shadowy figures in darkened yards have Puerto Rican authorities hunting for what they believe is an exotic jungle cat now prowling the wooded fringes of the island's densely populated capital. Wildlife officials patrolled streets and undeveloped lots in a sort of suburban safari on Sunday, searching for a nocturnal predator that has mauled a sheep, ripped apart chickens, and dominated newspaper headlines in this tropical U.S. territory since last week. The beast, described by witnesses as a black panther, has dodged marksmen, motion-sensitive cameras, and cage-like traps, including one baited with a live goat. A loose panther could be the escaped pet of drug traffickers, who are known for crowding their compounds on the island with rare caged jungle cats and pedigree dogs. It is illegal to own non-native predators such as jungle cats in Puerto Rico. Now, admittedly, it sounds like Luis's story predates this news coverage. But if it happened once, it could have happened before. So I hope that helps you feel a little less crazy, Luis. and thank you again for calling in. Now for this next entry, we journey back to Africa, North Africa, Morocco, to be specific. Please welcome Mohammed to the program.
Hi Derek, it's Mohammed again from Casablanca, Morocco. I wanted to tell you about this little thing that happened while we were in Marrakesh. My sister lives in Ireland and she visits with her husband from there. And we usually go to Marrakesh. I think you probably have heard of the city, it's touristy and stuff. So we go there. We always rent a villa there and stay there. One of the times we rented this villa, it has this pool, and the kind of living area is at the like the ground floor, and then there is the bedrooms in the first and second floor. So we stayed late at night. We stayed up just talking and stuff. Kind of hit like at midnight, everybody went to sleep. I went up to my room, I got out my computer, I just started browsing the internet and stuff. So at around like 2 in the morning or like 2 and something in the morning, I got hungry, so I wanted to get something to eat. So what I did is I went down to the ground floor, and the ground floor, as I said, is adjacent to the pool. And it's dark out there, and of course the ground floor is dark, so I put on the lights there and I went to the kitchen. The kitchen is also in the ground floor. So as I'm walking into the kitchen, I heard my name, and it was kind of like a little bit kind of like behind me as I was walking into the kitchen. So I stopped and I was like, all right, this is weird. And I'm a rational guy. I don't really run or go for paranormal explanations. So I was like, all right, I chucked it off. I was like, all right, I just imagined that. So I made two more steps and then I heard my name again, and it was right into my ear. And I kind of almost felt something around that area. I started freaking out a little bit, but I didn't act on it. It's not like I ran out of the kitchen or something. But I always kept a skeptical mind. I was like, maybe my sister is calling me. Somebody is calling me like from the stairs or something. So I went back to check the stairs. There was nobody at the stairs. I even woke up my parents and my sister, because it was a woman's voice, and I asked her if they called my name, and nobody called my name. We have this, it's actually a common thing here in Morocco and in the Arab world in general, in terms of paranormal with the jinn and everything. So it happens, people hear this a lot and they associate it with jinn. To this day, I don't really think, I mean, I know for a fact that it's a little bit weird. But I would like to keep a skeptical mind and say that maybe it was just me imagining and hearing things and stuff. So that's my story. Thanks again for the podcast and keep it up, brother.
Thank you, Mohammed. You know, we've covered the jinn a number of times on the program. Season 5, episode 14. Season 9, episode 10. And season 14, episode 20. If you'd like to check that coverage out. Now, I don't know a lot about the jinn, so up until this call, I assumed that they only manifest as male. But as Mohammed's story here suggests, and my quick Google search confirms, the jinn is not limited to any one gender. I guess you learn something new every day. And we thank you for today's lesson, Mohammed, and for your phone call. Now, folks, we're going to take a quick break. But when we return, I have a very unusual call to share with you. I'll be right back.
In fact, if you look at each one of those...
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Heads to the town of Atlanta for the inaugural.
Yes, estimates.
Now, tonight's next entry is the only one of tonight's entries that takes place in Asia. But trust me when I say, it'll leave you wanting more. Chris from Australia. Welcome to tonight's episode.
Hi, I'm Chris. I live in Sydney, Australia. This happened in the late 80s. I was on the Indonesian island of Bali. My brother had a bar in the tourist area of Legian, and as you can imagine, I spent a bit of time there. I'd been there a couple of weeks, and I was getting a bit sick of the bar and the hustle and bustle, so I grabbed a motorbike and took off, looking for just a bit of quiet time for a couple of days. I'd been riding all afternoon, stopping here and there for a beer or a swim. When it was nearing sunset, I thought I'd better find somewhere to spend the night. I came to a little town called Shandidasar and went into a bar and was recommended a place where I could stay by the barman. It was off the road and down a winding dirt track through the jungle. It was a dozen or so family-owned hut-style rooms, literally a stone's throw from the ocean. When the guy was showing me my room, he warned me not to go into a certain part of the jungle, as some witches had recently killed another witch, and he said there was some bad magic around. That night, I had a dream that the beach in front of my room was on fire. The next morning, I decided to leave Shandidasar. I just had a bad feeling about it. But my motorbike wouldn't start. Couldn't see anything wrong with it. It just wouldn't start. So I really had no option but to stay another day. That afternoon, I met a British couple, and they asked me if I'd been having any strange dreams. And when I told them about the dream I had, they said they'd both been having the same dream. They went on to say that the mountain, Mount Agung, that sits behind the town, is volcanic. And when it erupted last in 1963, about 1,500 people were killed, and the lava didn't stop flowing until it reached the ocean. So the beach really had been on fire. They also said that some European archaeologists were currently digging in the area, and according to the locals, this was angering the spirits, and a lot of supernatural things had been occurring in the town. The second night is where things get weird. I woke up in the middle of the night, and for some reason, instead of just going back to sleep, I went down to the beach. It was eerily quiet. Everyone was asleep and very dark, just the moon, no artificial light at all. Couldn't see where the ocean ended and the sky started. It was all black. Then, and God knows why, I went in for a swim. And not just a paddle, I swam right out to deep water. Even in the daytime, I don't do this. After a few minutes, I swam back in, and instead of going back to my room, I then went for a walk along the beach, away from the town, in the other direction, where it's mostly just jungle. After a few minutes, I came to what I later found out was a new resort hotel, mid-construction. Ahead of me, in the moonlight, I could make out a light grey circle on the ground, which I also later found out was going to be the concrete base of a pool bar. It's about 15 feet in diameter, with 8 or 9 dark shapes on it. I got a little closer and I found that the dark shapes was a pack of wild dogs sleeping on the concrete for its coolness. The nights are very hot there. Now, the wild dogs of Bali are very vicious animals. Back in the 80s, some of them were rabid. The Balinese are Hindus who believe in reincarnation. They also believe that the very worst people, murderers, rapists, etc., come back as dogs, so consequently, dogs were treated very badly. The sensible thing would have been to quietly and quickly back out of there, but I didn't. Instead, I walked towards them, found a spot in the middle of the concrete slab, and lay down with them. One or two of the dogs half lifted their heads and sniffed at me, seemed completely unperturbed by my presence, and just went back to sleep. And then I fell asleep. I woke up, I guessed it was about half an hour later, and again the dogs seemed unworried. A couple of them looked at me and smelled the air, and then I went back to my room. All my actions that night were completely out of character. I wasn't drunk or on drugs. I didn't feel like I was being controlled. It was more that strange things I was doing didn't feel strange at the time. It was like I was doing perfectly normal things. Now, I don't know if it was anything to do with the spirits or the witches, but even if you can't explain my behavior, how do you account for the dog's behavior? I shouldn't have been able to get anywhere near them. I can't imagine even domestic dogs being that docile. So maybe you have some thoughts. The next morning, the motorbike started first time, and I got out of there. About a year later, I was on another trip over there, and my brother told me he'd sold the bar and bought a new one, and I was just in time to help with the move. I asked where the new bar was, and he replied, "Oh, it's a quiet little town on the south side of the island called Chandidasar. Thank you."
Thanks, Chris. Well, it's certainly a strange one. Shared dreams, mass casualty natural disasters, late night swims, and sleeping with wild dogs. I'm at a loss. But luckily, we have a researcher on staff for just such an occasion. And I sent her this story and asked her to dig up what she could. And the following is what Delaney reported back to me. Near Chandidasar, about 25 miles away, is a sacred site known as the Taman Ujong Water Palace, which was built in 1909. It is a series of three swimming pools connected by a number of bridges and pavilions. The original pool was called Daira Pool and was actually constructed in 1901 by the previous Raja. The Daira Pool wasn't for bathing, but rather served as a spot where exorcisms would be performed. And it is said that practitioners of black magic would be drowned in the pool as punishment for their unseemly deeds. Now, our caller's experience took place in a swimming pool, or what would soon become a swimming pool, and was surrounded by dogs, which, as our caller stated, are thought to be the reincarnation of thieves, murderers, and witches. So I can't help but wonder if there's a connection here. What do you make of that, dear listener? It's certainly at least a strange coincidence. Maybe more. And thank you again, Chris, for sharing the entry here with us. Now, folks, don't forget about our merchandise shop this Halloween. If you have a friend or a loved one that enjoys the show, a safe bet is they'll enjoy some Monsters Among Us merchandise as well. Just visit our website at monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the shop tab to shop till you drop. All proceeds go right back into the program, so you're helping out the little guy as well. Now strap on your beret. We are headed to France. Bonjour, Frederic.
Hi there, Derek. I'm a French lady who loves your great podcast, and I venture to share my five spooky experiences organized in two chapters with you. My name is Frédéric. I know, a boy's name for a girl. Lucky I didn't get drafted for the army. I had an identical twin sister named Fabiola. Now, first story. My twin sister brutally passed away in January of 1977 at age 22. We lived in Malo-les-Bains, a seaside resort by Dunkirk, France. A few weeks after this devastating event, I went to visit my mother-in-law. She was a very busy CPA accountant, and her apartment was located at the third level of her office's building. As I was early, she told me to go upstairs and watch TV while waiting for her. She added she'd be joining me upstairs any minute. I sat on her couch in a bourgeois-style adorned living room with antiques and very old, somewhat austere, large paintings hung on the walls. The TV program online was featuring a show where a serious, bespectacled gentleman was telling to the other one, quote, "The dead reach out to us by moving artifacts around us," unquote. And at the very same second he said, "around us," a huge painting hanging right above the TV set fell down to the floor in a great rumbling noise. My mother-in-law rushed upstairs and I was shaking and feeling quite embarrassed. I told her that this accident was probably due to the hanging device being too old. "Are you serious?" she answered. "As a matter of fact, the nail peeking outside the wall was the sturdiest I ever saw, and the tripod cord behind the artwork was intact." I tried to persuade myself that it simply was a very spooky coincidence. Still, how many probabilities? Now, fast forward. 8 years after my beloved twin sister's demise, I decided to join an adult class located 100 miles south of Dunkirk, aiming at brushing up with my professional skills. I didn't know anyone there. On the first 10 minutes of the first day of class, as I was seated at the rear part of the classroom, a friendly fellow student seated up front waved at me and shouted, quote, "Hey, Fabiola, here's a vacant seat near me. Come over," unquote. Stunned, I asked her to say that again. She was confused and asked, quote, "Oh, I'm sorry, isn't Fabiola your name?" unquote. Now, no one had had time to introduce one another. We all had just stepped into the premises. This was in 1985. Fast forward again, in 1993, I happened to be a Sunday school volunteer. The church was located near Fontainebleau, south of Paris. One evening, we had a teachers' meeting planned with the neighboring parish's volunteers. It was the very first time I was meeting the other parish's team. I was the last woman to make it at that venue. A short, dark lady then told me, quote, "You're the last one, I guess, Fabiola. Would you please shut the door behind you? It's chilly," unquote. Here again, I asked her why she was calling me Fabiola, and once again, she looked confused and apologized, asking me what was my actual name. No one knew anything about my family life. Now, second story. In 2013, I found a job in the historical center of the quaint city of Saint-Omer, Département of Pas-de-Calais, France. I rented an apartment located at the third floor of a magnificent 17th century building. The two flights of stairs was classified with the Commission des Monuments Historiques. I had purchased and imported from the UK two half-moon-shaped, very heavy and not cheap, woolen carpets that I was proud to display on each side of my bed. Seemed that my bed had woolen ears. Every night, just before falling asleep, I had a last happy, childish glance at how nicely my two heavy carpets were nicely located right along each side of my bed. Wooden sides. After a couple of weeks, I noticed, quite puzzled, that each carpet had moved 2 feet away from my bed, both on the same direction. One of them, therefore, quite literally located under the bed. Day after day, I had to readjust both heavy carpets, punting with some effort, wondering whether there was a very subtle slope in the terrain upon which that ancient building had been built, this even before the Sun King was born. I checked out with a spirit level, with bottles half filled with water, nothing wrong about an incidental slope. I checked whether there was a draft underneath both entrance doors by putting aluminium foil and paper sheets scattered around the room, and nothing noticeable there. The rugs were so heavy that even the fitted carpet underneath couldn't have caused both carpets to slide sidewards. No pranker could have sneaked into my room during the night. The building was occupied by two elderly and frail ladies in their late 80s. All door locks were tightly secured every evening. Besides, my Chihuahua nervous dog wouldn't have let any stranger venture into my home. Now, one early morning, while I was still living in this ancient and gorgeous historical building, I steptoed down the stairs at 5 a.m., willing not to startle my elderly neighbors. As I couldn't sleep, I had decided to do some sorting in the stuff that I had stored in the oddly enough very small basement. Upon reaching the first floor, I was taken aback by the very strong smell of Amsterdamer kind of pipe tobacco, the one that has a riveting gingerbread sort of flavor, the ones old sailors smoked. I grabbed a hearth poker in the first floor living room and firmly determined to confront the tramp who would have managed to viciously sneak into the tightly locked building. I checked just every nook and cranny. Nobody. I knew that the two frail little ladies never received any male visitor, and besides, both were adamantly anti-tobacco advocates. Was there a ghost hidden in a secret zone of the basement? Was he the one who was playing with my carpets? I left this town a few months afterwards, and both mysteries remain intact to this day. I thank you for your time in reading me. I felt good to air those stories that I was so uneasy to live with. You're doing a splendid job. I'm a fan. Please keep these stories coming. A bientôt. Cheers.
Thank you, Frederick. A ghost story. A doppelganger story. A moving object story. A ghostly scent story. This submission had it all, and told so very well. We can't thank you enough, Frederick, for taking the time to share your experiences here with us.
You know, since the All-Star break.
Yeah, I have to see the Yankees bounce back.
With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect. So after a long day, buy a double cheeseburger and add a McChicken for a dollar. Because saving with deals is always on the menu. With new McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Again, good luck with that.
Now, if you will, join me in Europe for this next entry. Rob from the UK. Tell us what you saw.
Hi, Derek. This is Rob from the UK. I just wanted to give you my UFO experience that happened to me back during the late 80s. I think this was round about 1988. And the reason I think it was that year was that during that year, I'd been away in Germany touring, playing US air bases on the continent, which is quite a normal thing, but back in those days, with my band. And when I'd come back from Germany, I found that my car had actually been stolen from outside my house. So I had no car for a while, so I was spending a lot of time in the evenings walking backwards and forwards between friends' houses late at night. On this particular occasion, I was coming back from a friend's, and it was a very starry night. There was no moon, but there was a beautiful, beautiful, clear sky. And where we lived at the time, it was quite rural. We were on the edge of a town which is about 15 miles west of Cambridge. the famous university town. We lived kind of in a rural market town, which at that time, as I say, the part where I lived in was more like a village. So light pollution was pretty minimal. And I happened to be walking home just maybe 5 minutes from my house. And I happened to look up at the sky because I'm always stargazing. And I couldn't believe my eyes. As I looked up above me, passing overhead was only what I could describe really as something that looked like the Black Monolith from 2001. This thing had no engines or no audible engines, no lights, in fact, no physical attributes at all. What it literally looked like was this shape was blotting out the stars as it sailed silently overhead. And I stood and watched it. It was about the same shape as a door, but it was much, much bigger. I would maybe estimate possibly the size of a tennis court, maybe slightly larger. It was hard to kind of guess the altitude because obviously this was nighttime. But I was just looking at this shape and I could see this shape very, very clearly. It passed silently overhead into the distance and I remember watching it disappear out of sight. And I also remember bitterly wishing that I had a car so that I could have got in my car and followed this thing to try and see where it was going. Yeah, that's the only really sort of genuine UFO experience I've had. I love the podcast. Being a gigging musician, your podcast has been a companion to me on endless long journeys home from playing shows in the evenings. And now you're my companion when I'm travelling home from school because I'm now a music teacher in the UK. Please keep up the good work. I listen avidly to your podcasts and I always enjoy them very, very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rob. You know, there was a famous flap of sightings, very similar to this, in nearby Belgium, around the exact same time. Officially, the sightings range from November of 89 to April of 1990, and witnesses claimed to see multiple black triangles or delta-shaped craft hovering silently overhead. Almost exactly what Rob claimed to have seen just a year earlier. Or I suppose if he had his years off by just one, it could have been the exact same time. Now, either way, I thought that case was much too relevant not to share here tonight. If you'd like to learn more, visit tonight's show notes for further information on that Belgium UFO wave. And thank you again, Rob, for sharing the entry. Now, since we're already in the United Kingdom, let's make a quick stop in Scotland. And no, sadly, this is not a Nessie story, but it is a pretty good one. Nonetheless, please welcome Mark to tonight's program.
Hi, Derek and the whole Monsters Among Us community. My name's Mark and I'm calling from a small town in Scotland. I'll try and speak as cleanly as I can because I know my accent can be hard to understand sometimes. So this experience happened to me on the 23rd of January 2013. I was in the house myself and it was about 10:20 p.m. and I decided to make myself some toast before I went to bed. So as I was making my toast and waiting for it to pop, I turned round and in the corner of the kitchen there was this pure black figure about 6.5-7 foot tall, and I could clearly make out that it was wearing a trench coat, had a sort of a cane or a walking stick, and it also had sort of like bright red eyes, not glowing red, but just red eyes, just sort of staring at me. I seen this for maybe 4 or 5 seconds and then it just completely disappeared, and just absolutely terrified the life out of me. I must have slept with the lights on for about a week afterwards. I really don't know what it is, if it was a shadow person, if it was something demonic, if it was an interdimensional sort of being. I've got no idea. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, but I just thought I'd share my experience with you. Hopefully it's good enough to make the podcast. Keep up the great work. Love the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Sounds like another of those Shadow Man experiences, if you ask me. And a pretty good one, to boot. So we appreciate the tale, Mark. Thank you for calling it in. Now, folks, before we push on to tonight's next nightmarish entry, I just wanted to remind everyone about Monsters Among Us Jr., our first spinoff series.
perfect for little ones that enjoy spooky things, and for adults that like to hear scary stories told by some of our youngest listeners. From learning to talk to graduating high school, we have it all at Monsters Among Us Jr. Just search for Monsters Among Us Jr. anywhere you get your podcasts to tune in, and give us a follow on our social media accounts for full updates. We sure do appreciate the support. Now let's take this last ad break, then I'll return with more international tales of terror. Don't touch that dial.
20 years ago now, called Pandemonium and Piscataway.
That's awesome, really?
Yeah.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Obviously, that's number one.
Well, this next entry takes us back to North America. Jay from Canada. Come on in and tell us your tale.
Hi, it's Jay from Southern Alberta again. I just remembered a story from my childhood, and I was kind of thinking on it because it's always left me stumped. And it's kind of short and sweet, but it's definitely strange. So in my area, there's a campsite that's free to use the lake or camp at. You're just asked to clean up after yourself. And the first time my father took me there as a young kid, I honestly can't remember how old I was, but he told me about a story where this property that's just after you turn onto the road off the highway, onto the road that takes you to this campsite, there's this property that has bushes all the way around it. And there was this big old abandoned house. And I'd always had an interest in old abandoned buildings. So I asked my dad what was up with that building or whatever. And he told me that there was a man and a woman that lived there in the 70s, I want to say, and the man had actually caught his wife in bed with another man and murdered them both there on the property. And that story kind of interested me. I like the creepy stuff. So a few years pass after he tells me this story, and we're going back out there again, and the house is gone. And I asked him, oh, they finally knocked down that house? And he said, that house has been gone for like 20, 30 years. And I just look at him and I said, are you sure? I saw that house the last time we drove past here. And he swore up and down that that house had been gone for many years. And yeah, that's the part that leaves me confused, because I know that I saw this big white old house with paint peeling and old style looking wood on the side of this house. Like, it was an old style, big old house. And he's telling me that it wasn't there. And I'm wondering if I may have seen a ghost house from a residual haunting from what had occurred on the property. Because I still would have been at the age where I had a better perception of those things. I don't know. Thinking about it, it just popped into my head. Maybe I saw a ghost house that day. But yeah, I just wanted to share that. And I also just wanted to say congratulations on the release of your movie. And you all did a great job. Yeah, I didn't actually finish it, but I was too excited to just wait to watch it. So I watched a portion of it last night. And yes, you guys did a fantastic job. You can tell that you guys put a lot of time and effort into it. And I just wanted to congratulate you and say great job. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Jay. We really appreciate you checking out the film. We put years of work into it. I'm glad you enjoyed the parts that you did see. And if you'd like to join him in viewing, just visit BorregoTriangle.com to learn more. Now, this isn't the first disappearing house that we've heard of here on the program. In fact, I've experienced the exact same thing myself. I was ghost hunting near Wheeling, West Virginia, in college with a few buddies, and we found this decrepit old church up on a hill in the middle of nowhere. Now, we respectfully trespassed to get a better look, with the plan to come back during the daylight hours to explore more of the grounds, except that I was never able to find that church again. Even though myself and my two friends were certain of where it was. So this sort of thing happens, Jay. I don't know why, but it certainly happens. And thank you for sharing your experience with the phenomena here with us. Well, that brings us to tonight's final entry. Please join me in Iceland, where we meet up with this anonymous caller.
Hey, Derek. I'm going to remain anonymous. So I'm living in Iceland, but I'm not from Iceland. And I've had some kind of weird experiences the past 2 days. So me and my dog, we go to the dog park every morning at 6 a.m. And Iceland's a pretty sleepy country. There's not really anybody up. The streets are pretty open. There's maybe a few people on a commute to the capital for work, but I don't live in the capital area, so it's really quiet and nice. Well, yesterday morning, I guess I'll start there. I was looking up at the stars while at the dog park, and the sky was super clear. I was just enjoying the view, and I thought I saw like 4 stars going in like a circle, but I didn't think much of it, and I still don't know if I do. I think it was an optical illusion or my eyes just messing with me. I don't know. But then today, when we arrive at the dog park, so I said I'm not from Iceland. I grew up in an area heavily populated with trains. I would use the sound of the trains to fall asleep. And I swear to you, at the dog park, in the air, I heard the sound of a train. Like, I heard its whistle and I heard its brakes grinding. And it was so weird. I wrote it off as maybe like, I don't know, construction or a factory off in the distance. There's many, you know, fish factories. Kind of important information. There are no trains in Iceland and never have been. So I still have no idea what that noise was. Super eerie. So I find that a little odd, but I tried to write it off. We couldn't get in the dog park because of the snow. So we jumped the fence and we get in there. And my dog, she has like a light up collar because it's pitch black. And everything's going fine. We're just playing fetch and she's running around and she runs to the very, very back of the dog park. And I'm not worried about it. We're the only ones there and everything's fenced in. But I noticed her light on her collar starts flickering, like not like flashing setting, just like flickering. And I thought maybe it's just the way she's running or something. And then I saw her light rise off the ground. She's a little dog. She's really small. I swear to you, I saw her light rise off the ground. I don't know. Maybe she climbed a fence herself. I don't know. And she has pretty good recall. So I called her back and she wasn't coming. So I started like fast walking over there to her, trying to stay calm. She's a pretty anxious dog. She's not barking or anything, but she's not coming to me. And her collar is rising off the ground. So I start fast walking to her. And then she just starts running to me. Light, fine, except now it's on its fastest flashing setting, which is maybe what I was seeing, but I have no idea how the collar changed settings.
That has like 3 settings, you know, 2 flashing and 1 solid, but the button is flat. I struggle with it every morning to turn it on because it's made to not be bumped by the dog to change settings. She never changed the settings before, but that could have happened. And when she was running away in the distance, this dog park is like 40 to 50 meters. It's very big. The blinking I saw when she was running, it wasn't fast enough to be either any of the settings on the collar. It was like very slow blinks in between, like just pitch black, no light, to solid light. Yeah, it was very weird. But yeah, we didn't leave because she needed to get her energy out, but we went to the small area of the dog park after that. Maybe it's nothing. I don't know. What do you think? Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you, caller. Now, it's not often that I think of something that might solve one of these stories we receive here on the show. But tonight is one of those rare times. Because it sounds like to me, caller, that your dog was picked up by a bird. Well, not just any bird, but an owl. Now, hear me out. They hunt at night. They're able to fly silently. You can't hear their wings. They've been known to snatch smaller dogs. And there's an owl native to that region that's capable of all of those things. It's called the snowy owl. Now, my guess is that the owl saw the dog, grabbed it, but couldn't get it too far off the ground. And that's what made the light on the collar appear to float in the air. And then the intermittent blinking. Well, that could be because the wings of the bird flapped in front of the light repeatedly, blocking it out enough to make it look as if it was blinking on and off. And as for the train sound reported in the call, check this out. These are just a couple of the snowy owl's vocalizations. Could these be mistaken for a train whistle? I'll let you be the judge. In a dark, snowy park, I think I could be fooled. Well, either way, thank you again, caller, for sharing the story. And I'm happy to hear that the pup is okay, regardless of what it was that took place. And that's going to do it for tonight, folks. Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes and Delaney Bowers. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Please give us a like or follow over on our social media pages, Instagram and Facebook. And while you're at it, hop on over to YouTube and give us a like and follow there as well. And of course, while you're on the internet, leave us a rate and review wherever that sort of thing is possible. All kinds of trolls lately. It's time to stomp them down. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now, don't forget about Monsters Among Us Jr. New episodes drop each and every Wednesday. And all the episodes are safe for all ages. And of course, I'll catch you back here on Thursday for our latest installment, which just happens to be Halloween. Now, visit the shop, join us on Patreon or Apple subscriptions, and watch our film. But above all else, keep it spooky, and have a good night.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.